Yesterday morning, diocesan confirmation was held at St. Barnabas in Warwick. Just about 400 people filled that church, and 60 people were confirmed and received into this branch of Christ Church. And many of them, I think most of them, were young people. It was quite an exciting moment, an exciting morning. The bishop, in his sermon, talked about relationality, about our call into relationship, about our connection to God and to one another. He noted how those who were being confirmed and received, many of whom were young, would in the coming years, having made this adult profession of their faith, affirming those promises made by their parents and godparents when they were baptized as infants, that in making those promises, these young people were beginning to move into adult life in the church and would at some point take their place in leadership. How they would undertake ministries, maybe do outreach, serve on vestries. Maybe some of them even, he said, would find themselves called to holy orders and he might one day ordain them. And that in this moment they were not coming to this alone or isolated, but they were coming with their parents, their families. They were coming supported by their parishes. They were being brought into life in the Episcopal Church, both in this diocese and throughout this nation and others. There are over 2 million Episcopalians throughout the world. And then he noted how they were being brought into the Anglican Communion, those churches around the globe with millions of people, that they were being incorporated into this larger community, this larger fellowship. And in fact, not only is this a gathering of the body of Christ in that moment, Saturday morning at St. Barnabas, but it even cuts across time and space. In God's economy, we are connected through the communion of saints to those who have gone before us. The past, the present, the future, all caught up. For it is true that God creates us for relationship, not to dwell in isolation despite the emphasis on individualism in our culture. But God creates us to be in relationship with God, with one another, and even with the whole of creation. The Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday after the sixth Sunday of Easter are the annual Rogation Days, from a Latin word meaning to pray. They're days when we remember we are connected to creation, that in the creation God pronounced everything good. And then God called us to be stewards of that creation, to be in right relationship not just with God and one another, but with the whole created order, and to respect and to care for it. So on these days, we give thanks to God for creation, and we ask God that the creation might be bountiful, that God will send the sun and the rain needed, that the crops planted now will lead to a fruitful harvest in the fall. To keep our Rogation Day following this liturgy, we'll actually process around the boundaries of our property and pray for God's creation and for all people. That interconnectedness, that we are woven into relationship with all the created order. And at the heart of that interconnectedness, of those relationships, is what we hear in our gospel today. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Abide in that love. At the heart of this relationality is God's love. And that love is given freely by God, not because we have earned it. We can't earn God's love. It is God's nature to love. In fact, we're told in Scripture God is love. And so we are invited into this love, freely poured out upon us. And then, as God's beloved children, we are called by God to also love as God loves. To love our brothers and sisters, to love them as they are, to welcome them as beloved children of God. Now, this love we're talking about is actually at times quite difficult, for it's not based on emotion. It's not something where, well, I like you, you like me, we can love one another because we enjoy each other. It's not that romantic love of primary relationships and commitment. This is the love which is the choice to love because God loves us, even when it might be difficult, even when called to love someone that we might find not lovable, That's not an option. God calls us to see in them that love of God and to love them. Each week following the 8 o'clock discussion group, each week following the 8 o'clock liturgy, we have a discussion group and we talk about lessons. And we spent a fair bit of time this morning talking about how difficult it can be to love in that way. And to love those people who may do things we do not like, or to love those who may not return our love and may even treat us badly. It's difficult to live this love of God, and we don't do it perfectly. But God loves us and gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to abide in that love and to try to love as God loves us. Ultimately, this leads us, I think, into new ways of being, into new ways of doing relationship. Relationship not based on you do something to me and I respond to that, but relationship based on I will love you. You can decide how to respond to it, but I love you no matter what, even if you don't return that love of God. And so it's about a bold kind of transformation rooted in the love of God, abiding in the love of God. In our lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear about that transformative power of God's love, about a new way of being, about new things done by the power of the resurrection. We have throughout Eastertide been hearing accounts of people in the Acts of the Apostles who move, those first followers of Jesus, who move from that locked room where they dwell in fear. Fear which keeps us isolated. Fear which cuts us off from other people. Fear which does not allow us to open ourselves. But through the power of the resurrection, and then empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the book of Acts tells us how they move from that place of fear. And they go out into the world. And they do the very works that Jesus himself did. They are transformed into a new creation. And they let go of their fear, and they know that no matter what happens to them, they are safe in God through Christ forever. Jesus, in his death and resurrection, breaks the power of all that alienates us from God, and so they are free to go and to act boldly. And so we have our lesson today, which is the ending of a whole chapter in Acts, which is all about this transformation. And the big question is, can Gentiles be baptized? Is the mission of Jesus only for those who are Jewish? And Peter begins thinking it is only for those who are Jewish, not for the Gentile world. We don't get the whole lesson, we just get the very ending of it. So I'm going to summarize what happens in this chapter. And there are two main players. One is Cornelius. Cornelius is a centurion in the Roman army. He is a Gentile. But Acts tells us he is devout. He feared God. He gave alms generously. And he prayed constantly. One afternoon, he has a vision of an angel. An angel who tells him to send some men to go to Peter and bring Peter to Cornelius' house. And so Cornelius sends two slaves and a soldier, and they go to find Peter. While this is happening, Peter also is praying. He goes up onto the roof of his house, he's going to pray. But while he's praying, he gets hungry. So food is being prepared for him while he's on the roof. And in this time, while he's waiting for the food, he goes into a trance. And in this trance, he has a vision. And the vision is of a large sheet that has been lowered. And on that sheet, there are animals. There are birds. There are reptiles. And a voice says to Peter, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter replies saying, "I have never eaten anything unclean." And the voice says to Peter, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Shortly thereafter, the men from Cornelius arrive at Peter's house and go in and talk to Peter. And they take Peter with them. And Peter goes back to Cornelius' house and finds a whole crowd gathered there, a crowd of Gentiles. And Peter begins when entering the house by saying, "You know, it's not lawful for me to be here. It's not lawful for me, a good Jew, to associate with Gentiles, to gather and visit with them in their house. But," he says, "I understand God shows no partiality." And while he's saying this, the Holy Spirit is poured on those Gentiles. And Peter, as we heard in today's lesson, says, "What's to prevent them being baptized?" And they are baptized. So God does something new. God moves Peter through the power of the resurrection, through the Holy Spirit, to be open to a new way of being. That means Peter's leaving behind a whole lifetime of practice of understanding what it is to be holy, to be one who follows God. But Peter comes to see through that experience that God is doing something new. And so he accepts this, and he is open to it. The resurrection calls us into a new way of life, calls us to be new creations, calls us even into new ways of following God, ways that might seem very different and unfamiliar, maybe even frightening and hard to accept. But God's love is about building up the community. It's not about setting walls and boundaries and dividing. It's about including. It's about more and more being welcomed in the name of the risen Jesus. Building up the body, coming to be part of that one flock under one shepherd. And I think the primary thing that happens in the book of Acts is people leave behind their fear. They leave behind those settled notions of who God is and how God acts. Leaving behind their fear, they're able to see the new things God is doing and to move into a new way of life, a new relationship with God, and have an expanded, broader love of others. And in doing so, they're able to take the risks necessary to do the work that God gives them to do, knowing no matter what happens, they are safe in God forever. I wonder, what are the new ways of being, the new understandings of God, the new places we're called to go as the people of God and as the body of Christ in this place? What new ways is God calling us to be God's people in the world? How is God building us up into a new creation? I've been thinking a lot in this week, particularly because of some conversations I've had, about the vision we hope to start in the fall for our expanded music program. I was thinking about how a year and a half ago the vestry gathered in prayer in retreat. And the Holy Spirit seemed to be at work in our midst and brought to us a vision of a music program expanded both within the parish, including adults and young people, but also a vision beyond these walls, inviting those from our own neighborhood, our own community, to be part of this program. And I'm thinking of how that seems even more critical now than it did a year and a half ago, because that involves us reaching across dividing lines in our neighborhood, reaching across those boundaries of race and class, expanding our notion of to whom we are being called to build relationship with. And we've seen in the last few months how there's a desperate need in our nation for relationships to be built, for reconciliation to happen, for justice to be made across those boundaries of race and class. But it's not just about building those relationships, about reaching out. In the process, we will be changed. We will be recreated. In that work, who knows where God will take us? Who knows what we will be called on to do? Who knows what new joys and experiences we will have? And who knows what great work we might accomplish in building relationships with those different from us? So on this sixth Sunday of Easter, may we be inspired by the witness of those who have gone before us in the faith, of those first apostles who were able to move from their fear to embrace the new thing God was doing in their midst, who became witnesses to resurrection, who went to the ends of the earth, risking all to do God's work, to spread that good news. May we, like them, allow God to create in us a new creation, to be so full of the Holy Spirit as to have our eyes open to see God at work each day, and to be partners with God in that work that God is doing in this place in our midst. Like Peter, may we let go of whatever holds us back, whatever we need to hold on to that God would have us change. May we accept the new things God is doing and how God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is expanding that circle, widening it, increasing that experience of God's love. May we always abide in that love and walk in that love of Christ and be open as a community to all whom God leads to join us. Amen.